Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hi, welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Jeff Rappaport. Today we are minus Jonathan Gallegos. Jonathan had some things to do, and we wanted to make sure we continued and wrapped up this series. So we wanted to get this out. So I think for the next two episodes, it'll be just me. So what we have covered over the last number of episodes, I think nine episodes, is we identified the six more common owner finance, creative finance strategies. And we've gone over lease options. Actually, we have not covered lease options yet. We will. Contract for deed and land contracts, pretty much the same thing. Trust deed or mortgage, again, depending on where you are, the same thing. Seller subordination. All-inclusive trust deed or wraparound mortgage, and then subject to the mortgage. So we've covered subject to, all-inclusive, trust deed, and contract for deed. So we still have lease options and seller subordination to cover. So I thought what we would do is go through some examples, both on the how we can use them to make an offer to the seller, and if possible, could we also use them in terms of an exit strategy? So today we're going to talk about seller subordination. So I'm going to give you a new example. This is a house that we've actually just contracted. It is just under 5,000 square feet. It was built in 94, four bed, four bath. There's nothing owed on the property. The property's in good condition, not updated condition. So as of today, we have not had it inspected yet, but I believe that it will be in move-in condition, just not retail updated condition. And we've gone back and forth. One of the key things on this property were the taxes. The taxes run $16,000 a year. And this lead contacted us based off some Facebook marketing. And basically, she had told us initially that she was going through a divorce and she was going to end up with the house. She could not afford the taxes. And so for that reason, she was going to move. And she was open to any number of different things. We have probably made her 15, 20 different offers over the last 12 months. And so she finally agreed to one. And let's talk about how this is going to work. She initially, when we talked to her the first time, she didn't need much money. And so we made her offers based on just a trust deed and note with, you know, small down payment, you know, 5%, 6%, 7%, because that's what she was asking for. And the goal was that we wanted to buy on terms and then sell on terms and stay in the middle. In this particular case, she had come back to us a number of times, and price has not really been the issue. I mean, we were talking about, you know, this property is probably worth $625 to $650, and we have been talking anything between $450 and $550 price-wise. And we had been trying to structure terms, and she finally came back and said she wanted to buy another house. And so she needed enough money for a down payment, and that became like $150,000. So normally for us in our business that we don't want to give that kind of down payment because we don't really believe that we're going to get that down payment back. If you've listened to our podcasts over time, we talk a lot about getting in light, and that would not be getting in light. So we had to come up with a new idea. So one of the ways that we like to use seller subordination, and let me explain what that means. Seller subordination means that, first of all, it works the best if it's a free and clear property or there's a small mortgage on the property. So if your seller was worried about a due on sale clause or needing a bigger down payment, seller subordination works really well. What it means is that the seller is willing to subordinate, so take a second position on the property with the balance of their equity to allow us to borrow against the property in first position. So let me make sure that you understand that. What that means is that I can go borrow against their property in first position. So in this case, if we're trying to put together a $150,000 down payment, we are going to work with private lenders to lend us that money at whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8%, more than likely interest only over some time. And it's about as secure of a deal as they can get into, right? If this property is worth $600,000+ and they're lending $150,000 in first position, they are into this property for about 25% loan to value. And the seller is going to have a much larger equity position in second position. So the chances of this being a default and the lender having to foreclose and end up with the property again is, or end up with the property to begin with, that it's pretty much not going to happen. It's about as guaranteed and secure of a loan as a lender can make. In the old days, years and years ago, conventional lenders used to allow you to have the seller carry back like your down payment, like 20%. Now in residential, that's normally not going to work. Actually, I don't know any lenders that will do that anymore. But in this particular case, we're going to use private money, so it won't be a problem. And the way that we structured this is $150,000 down payment to the seller, and the balance, I think it was $515,000 that we were offering. And so the balance, $365,000, that's a note to the seller for the balance of her equity that would be secured in second position. It's almost, and a lot of times we have to explain to a seller that because there's a negative connotation with being in second position, they feel like they're at risk. And in some ways they are, but if you think about it, if this lady, and this could have been another way that we could have asked to structure it, we could have had her just take out $150,000 HELOC, a home equity line on the property, and we would have taken over that debt either subject to or an all-inclusive trust deed and note, whatever we decided that we wanted to do. And her equity would now be in second position because that equity line, when the property gets sold, gets paid off first. So in reality, anytime that there's any kind of loan on a property, the equity for the seller is in second position. And that's exactly how we explain this. And we say really the only difference is if it was a loan or a home equity line, you'd be making the payment. In this case, we will. So it really doesn't affect you at all. And it will only affect you if there is a default, and you will still maintain all of your equity, right? That $150,000 is going to her anyway. So if she had to take back the property, yes, it would be subject to the first mortgage. And when I say that, she's not taking over the first mortgage subject to, she's foreclosing and she is taking over the property that comes along with a first mortgage. But she's already been paid that money and all of her equity is still intact. So the risk is not as much as a lot of people think it is. So really all we had to do at this point was figure out what can we pay on her equity and where is the $150,000 going to come from and what will be those payments on that money. And then what's our exit strategy? So one of the reasons I love seller subordination is if you think about how this is all happening, we have no money down. This is a no money down deal for us. So no money has to come from me, whether it's, you know, from my buyer or any money I get from the buyer goes into my pocket. So I like seller subordination. It really, and it comes in handy when, you know, sellers are needing a bigger down payment. Now we don't want to get too crazy with the down payment because we're still borrowing this money and we're borrowing it at, even though, and I would tell you that private money is whatever you work out. And there are plenty of people that these are not professional lenders, right? These are your relatives, your doctor, your dentist, your attorney, acquaintances. It can be anyone. Anyone that has a retirement account that is not getting a decent interest rate, anyone that's got money in a bank sitting in a savings account that's not getting a decent interest rate, what you're going to do is you're going to locate them and tell them that you help people make a lot better rates of return on their money in a very safe and secured manner. And in this case, it's about as safe and secure as you can be. But we're still going to end up paying somewhere more than likely 6 to 8%. So if we take out our calculator and we just do 150,000 times 0.07, that equals 10,500 divided by 12. That's $875 right there. And that's interest only, right? So we're just paying out interest only to our lender, and we can structure it any way that we like, but we're trying to keep that payment low. And most sellers would prefer it that way, that they just receive an interest payment. And by the way, they're going to receive it each month. It's not going to accrue. So every month, our third party servicer that we would make a payment to, or our potential buyer or lease option tenant will make that payment to, the money will get divided up to the seller, the private lender, and then whatever's left over to us. So hopefully that makes sense. But so we already know that, you know, and let's figure that we've got about a $900 a month liability here. So we want to make sure that we don't exceed. So we've got to still figure out what are we going to pay our seller on her $365,000, right? So what I like to do is I'm going to take 365 on my calculator, put it in as present value, and just start looking at what payments would be at, you know, 3%, 3.25%, 3.5%, something like that. So let's try 3% over 360 months, 30 years. Our payment would be $1,538. Okay. And that's at 3%, 3.25 would be 1588. 3.5 would be 1639. All right. So now let's look at it a little differently. If we're going to sell this property to an owner occupant and we're going to sell it to them on terms, we're probably going to sell this. Let's say that we'll sell it for $635,000 with a 10% down payment. So let's just call it $60,000 down payment. So 635 minus 60 equals 575. That's going to be our present value. And let's say that we're going to sell it at 4.5% interest at 30 years, a payment of 2913. Let's see, what if we did 4%? Our payment would be 2745. So we still have quite a bit of room. We could easily pay her, you know, $1,200-$1,300 and still create a $500 to $700 a month cash flow. But I think in this case, what I offered her was $1,000 a month for 42 months. And I'll tell you why I did this in just one second. So that allows us a lot of flexibility on the payment, and that's outstanding for us. But we always have to keep in mind that we still got to get this deal accepted with the seller. And the only reason that I did this is that we had made a number of offers and I'd gotten some feedback, and it's really, you know, the payment helps. She just didn't want to go long term, but she wasn't super concerned as long as she can get this money up front. So I thought, all right, we need some principal pay down, because that $150,000 won't pay down, right? It, in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, if it's interest only, it's the same balance. And I don't want a loan to my buyer to be paying down when my loan is not. So that's why I made it principal only, but we only went 42 months. And so the 365 will pay down by $42,000. And so we will owe 323 plus the 150 at the end. So we have 473. And if we sell this for 635 minus 60, we're at 575 at, let's say, 4.25 on 30 years. So we're getting a $2,828 a month payment. We are making out a payment of $1,875. So we're making $850-$900 a month, pretty good cash flow. And in 42 months, the balloon payment that our buyer will owe us is $539,193. And we owe the seller and our private lender $473,000. So we make about $66,000 more. So we make about $900 a month. We make $60,000 up front, and we make $66,000 at the end, and it's all wrapped up in 42 months. Now, one of the other things, and I'll just go through this, but this is why I like subordination, is that we're able to now give her the money she needs to go do something. And we can borrow that money and help actually a private lender secure a nice rate of return for themselves in a very safe position. We can sell this property, and we could, in this case, since we're not offering the seller a down payment from us, right? We're able to borrow this money. We could even lease option this to a tenant buyer. So if we did something like that, we might not get the same down payment. We may only get 3 to 5%. So that might be 18 to 25,000, something like that. But that, again, all goes in our pocket. We might not get the same payment, but a little harder to determine what the rents would be on something like this. The reason that I'm not interested in doing a lease option on this property is those taxes. Those taxes run about $1,333 a month. So even if I was getting, let's say, $3,300 a month, $3,500, I'm still responsible for those taxes and I'm still responsible for the insurance. If we sell on terms, whether it's contract for deed or land contract or even an all-inclusive trust deed and note or a wraparound mortgage, that the buyer will be responsible for those taxes and insurance. And that is certainly one of the things that we're trying to accomplish in this particular deal. So hopefully that made sense. And one of the reasons why we like to use subordination. Now, in this particular example, it was free and clear. We made offers. We pretty much made some kind of offer, trust deed and note. We made numerous offers, trust deed and note. We made that there's no subject to offers because there's no debt. Although we could have made, like I had mentioned, you take out the equity line and then we will either take over that debt subject to or create a note around it, an exact wrap, which we've talked about in a previous episode. We never made that offer. That's usually my last resort option. And if she was asking for, let's say, $250 down payment, now I think we're getting to the point where it's going to get a little harder for us to, one, borrow that money, and two, maintain the payment that we want to maintain. So at that point, I might have said, look, now there's really only one way that we can help you. If you want to take out the loan, either refinance the property and get a mortgage or take out a home equity line for this amount, then that might be something that would work. So, all right, so let's wrap this up. I'm going to go over one other subordination offer, I believe, next episode, and then we will wrap up this series with how you can use lease options in your investment strategy as well, both on the buy side and on the sell side. Keep in mind, as a reminder that we've been doing this podcast for 3.5 years. We're almost to 200 episodes. And so you can find us everywhere. You can always go to our website, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. If you want to archive any of our episodes from anything further down than the last 100, most of the iTunes and Podbean, Stitcher, and all of the others only carry 100 episodes at a time. Know that we have a Facebook group and come join it, be a part of it, ask your questions, bring your deals, whether it's me or others in the group. And there are some very intelligent, smart people in this group and very giving. So certainly no charge to be a part of our Facebook group. Make sure you rate and review us. That allows us to get to more people. If you have interest in learning, and it's not even how to wholesale, although that is what we do. We are virtual wholesalers, even though we are now acquiring more properties either for ourselves or we are buying them and either wholetailing them or retailing them or stabilizing them and then reselling them. We have an apprentice program. If you have interest in that, reach out to me or my significant other, Rebecca, at We Offer Options, or you can reach me at Jeff at weofferoptions.com. And just email us and say that you're interested in the apprentice program. The apprentice program is awesome because we teach what we do. We're going to, we deal in commercial properties. We're going to teach you all about commercial. I'm going to teach you how to do this virtually. And in my opinion, I don't care if you want to be a rehabber or buy and hold investor. You want to be able to generate your own leads. And even if you're not interested in being a wholesaler, it's always good to be able to monetize the leads that don't fit your buying criteria. And we're going to help you set up a plan to actually take action and help you take action. A lot of education programs are just, here's the information, figure out how to use it. We're not going to do that. We're going to help you figure out how to set up a plan and how to reach your goals. And we have a way that you can make some money along the way. So that's our apprentice program. We have launched the Creative Financing Academy. That is strictly creative financing. I still haven't created a website. That is my bad, but we have 6-7 people in that program already. And we go through videos of how to structure creative financing. So we do a lot more visual, and you will listen to my mindset of how I'm looking at deals from start to finish, how I think about them in terms of exit strategy, how to get them accepted by sellers, and then what we want to do as far as buyers. And if you want to see a sample of that, again, reach out to me, Jeff@weofferoptions.com, and ask me for the free video. I'm happy to send it to you. Other than that, we'll look forward to you tuning in to the next one, and have a good one. Create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.